भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो ओम विष्णुपराय कृष्णप्रस्ताव गुरुदेव श्रीमारी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देव गौरवाणी पिछारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य देश तरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Verse 2. Tadodu Raja Kakuba Karar Mukam Rachavi Limpan Arunena Santamai Sachashanina Maudagat Chucho Murjan Priya Priyaya Iva Dirga Darshana
At that time, Uduraja, the moon king of the stars, Kakuba of the horizon, Karai with his hands, Mukam, face, Racha, western, Vilampan, smearing, Arunena, with reddish color, Shantamai, which give great comfort, sa, he, charshaninam, of those who were who watched, who the god rose, shucha, unhappiness, mrajan, wiping away, priya, beloved husband, priyaya, of his beloved wife, Eva, as Durga, after a long time, Darshana, being seen again. Translation, the moon then rose, anointing the face of the western horizon with the reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kumkum. Purport, young Krishna engaged his internal potency and she immediately created an exciting atmosphere for conjugal love. Text 3. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disk of the full moon glowing with reddish effulgence of newly applied vermilion, as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kumuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's presence, and the forest gently illuminated by its rays. Thus the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute, attracting the minds of the beautiful-eyed gopis. Purport, the word jagao in this verse indicates that Lord Krishna played songs on his flute, as confirmed in verse 40 by the words kastri angate kala padayata venu gita. The word rama may indicate not only Lord Vishnu's consort but also Srimati Radharani, the original goddess of fortune. Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty of the moon god, and the moon plays a prominent role here in preparing for the Lord's entrance into the midst of the rasa dance. So here we have two verses which continue the description in the first verse, which describes the night, which is favorable with the scent of the jasmines. And now here we have the moon described, and the opportunity is taken here of comparing the moon and the rising of the moon to an example of a husband who, after separation from his wife, meets the wife and puts kumkum on his wife's face. In other words, the rising of the moon with the reddish color, etc., becomes a stimulus for Krishna to call the gopis and perform the rasa dance. So there's great attention here paid to the description of the moon rising here. So the moon rose in the sky, and the moon here is called the king of the stars, meaning that it is the brightest object in the sky at night. And of course, it was also a full moon rising over the horizon, and it's described as having a face. And has rays, which are like, here called kara, which means rays, but also means hands. So the rays of the moon act like hands to anoint the sky with the red color. So, in other words, the moon with his hands is like the husband anointing with his hands the face of his wife, and making it all reddish in color. So in this way we have an analogy here between a man and a woman and the moon and the sky. So from this we understand that as the moon rose, the sky became reddish in color. As we often see, the moon, when it's on the horizon, is in reddish color around it, etc., and spreads those rays throughout the sky. So the analogy is given because we see here that it is indicating a relationship between a man and a woman after being separated for so long. So here's Dirga Darshana. They have not seen each other for a long time. So therefore, their love becomes very intense, and he expresses his love by putting the kumkum on her face. So, on seeing the moon, then Krishna became stimulated. But on seeing the moon, also, the next verse describes that the night lotuses blossomed. So normally we are used to the day lotuses, the pink ones that come out. They blossom when the sun rises in the morning and they close up at night. But the Kumuda is a night lotus. So when the moon rises, the night lotus blossoms. And of course the day lotus is closed, and then when the moon rises, the night lotus blossoms. So as the moon began to rise, then the night lotuses began to blossom. So of course, blossoming of flowers is generally an indication of joy, and often the blossoming flower is compared to a smiling face, etc. So it indicates great joy. And when Krishna saw the moon, then it reminded him of the face of Lakshmi decorated with kumkum, or not just Lakshmi but also Radha, because Rama indicates Lakshmi usually, but it can mean any consort of the Lord. So the gopis are also called Rama. So then the chief gopi, of course, is Radha, so it can also indicate Radha, her face decorated with kumkum. So the moon arose, the color was red, and the night lotuses began to blossom and spread their fragrance everywhere. And the moon also illuminated the forest with its soft rays. So normally, the rays of the sun are considered harsh. They're very hot rays, and they dry things up and cause burning, etc. So they're not very romantic at all. But the moon rays are cooling rays. The moon is a cooling planet. The sun is a hot planet. And it's actually called tapa. It burns. The moon is a cooling planet. It takes away sorrow. Of course, it's the opposite of the sun. The sun rises in the daytime and causes a lot of discomfort by its heat. Then the night comes, cooling night comes, and the moon rises with its cooling rays. And one gets great happiness. So generally the moon is an indicator of great happiness and soothing of pain. So we often, that comparison is often used. Lord Chaitanya is called the moon also because he takes away the suffering of the living entities when he rises like the moon. Therefore the rising of the moon is often associated with taking away of pain. So therefore its rays are described here as being very soft, not harsh. Very soft rays. And of course cooling rays. What do the rays do? They color the forest, actually. It says ranjitam, which means to color. Of course, what are the color of the rays? Now they're slightly reddish, and usually they're quite whitish in color. So what happens is the forest gets illuminated at least by the rays of the moon, so that one can see in that darkness. So that is true of the full moon. When the full moon's out, then you can go outside and you can look around and it's not dark. When you have a dark moon, then you cannot see anything. So the full moon is a very suitable time because everything was visible. And the gopis could come there without any difficulty. It wasn't very dark. And then they could talk to each other in the moonlight, very light. And they could also have the rasa dance and other activities. So the bright moon was very, very conducive for meeting with the gopis. But it was also very cooling and soothing. So that was also an added favorable item here to the description. So, with this setting, of course, the forest, in one sense, as Krishna later mentions, oh, this forest is very terrible because it's full of wild animals and it's dark and it's dangerous, etc., etc. But here, the forest is not like that. It is the opposite. It is lit up by the rays of the moon. It's very cooling, full of jasmine flowers, very fragrant, etc., with the reddish rays of the moon there, etc., very colorful, etc. So it's a very good setting for having pastimes with the gopis. So this is a favorable description of the forest. Huh? And then what did Krishna do? He played his flute. Here's his jigao, which literally means he sang his flute. He sang on his flute. Yeah. Huh? So he played songs on his flute to call the gopis. That flute sound was very attractive to the young gopis, which means they heard it. And then the next verse describes their response. Immediately they heard the flute, then they began running off to the forest to meet Krishna. So Krishna here was stimulated by this particular time and place. Time is the autumn season, with the full moon rising over the horizon and spreading out its soft rays. And the place is the forest, with the fragrance of the jasmines and the night-blooming lotuses. So the forest is a suitable place because it's hidden from the other people of Vrindavan. So for that reason, Krishna chose the forest here. But the forest here is not considered unfriendly because it is lit up very nicely with the rays of the moon. So, and then the moon itself provides a major udipana, or stimulus here, invoking romantic feelings in Krishna, because he was reminded here of the face of his beloved, anointed with kumkum. And of course, the image in this verse is that the man meets his beloved after a long time of not seeing her. So, in this way, it is fulfillment of desire. So it indicates that Krishna had great desire to meet the gopis, and the gopis had great desire to meet Krishna. So in previous chapters, there were indications of this. Of course, we have the case of the young unmarried gopis who worship Katyayani and explicitly express their desire to have Krishna as their husband. So that was one desire previous year. And then we have the song of the gopis, where they describe the song of Krishna's flute, etc., and how attractive it is. So they're not directly, but kind of indirectly, they express their attraction for Krishna. Technically, they have not met yet. They have not talked in detail. There's a few passing incidents, perhaps, but nothing, no intimate meeting and no prolonged discussions with Krishna and the gopis. All of that takes place after this. So this becomes the first meeting. And everything previous to that is not a meeting, technically. So therefore, it's a very important event. So this happens, of course, in the autumn season, in the nighttime, with the full moon, etc. It also happens after Krishna had entered into his Kaishor period, and the gopis had entered into the Kaishor period. So now the time was perfect for this display of the Rasalila, etc. So this first meeting takes place on this night, and it also manifests a most spectacular event, the Ras Lila. So among all the different pastimes of Krishna, the Ras Lila is considered the most spectacular and astonishing. And of course, among all the activities of all the avatars, again, Ras Lila is pointed out as the most spectacular event. So, of course, we also know that it is so spectacular that even Lakshmi became attracted to it, even though she is the chaste wife of Vishnu. Because of the spectacular nature of this rasa dance, then she also wanted to join into it, which means very, very spectacular, because even a high devotee consort of Vishnu becomes attracted to it. So the Rasa Lila is considered to be a very attractive pastime. So, in the nectar devotion there, Rupa Goswami describes that technically Vishnu and Krishna are the same. They're Bhagavan, so Bhagavan is one. But of course, they have different forms. So what is the difference? He says, ultimately, it is the rasa in Krishna which is superior. It's more attractive. So of course, they all have, all the forms of the Lord have rasa, but the rasa of Krishna is the most spectacular. And then Rupa Goswami says, so that rasa is represented by Krishna's pastime, such as the Ras Lila. And so that's a very spectacular pastime which displays the Madhurya rasa of Krishna with the gopis in a very spectacular way. So the rasa dance is considered to be a very, very important pastime because, of course, it represents Madhurya rasa, it represents joy, and within this activity we find all sorts of activities. So we find joking, we find dancing, we find singing, etc. All sorts of activities are included within this rasa dance. And all of it was performed by Krishna and the gopis. They both sang and they both danced, etc. So in the most spectacular manner. So it is considered to be very the climax of the different pastimes of Krishna. So it is very wonderful, but not everyone can see it. So only the gopis were there. The elders did not see it, nor did the young children or the sakas of Krishna. They didn't see it either. Only the gopis saw it. It's described that the devatas began to shower flowers when the rasa dance began. But then it is said, actually, the male devatas could not see the gopis at all. They could only see Krishna dancing. So they were not qualified to see the gopis at all. So, therefore, in the forest was quite a suitable place. The audience was quite limited, and even if the devatas could see, they couldn't see everything by the yogamaya potency of Krishna. He kept their vision away from it. So only they could see Krishna dancing as Krishna danced on Kaliya and whatnot. So in the forest, kept the dance private. So those who were not qualified for Madhurya Rasa or this dance could not have access to it at all. And at the same time, it was quite visible because the rays of the moon were there to light up everything on behalf of the in doing service for Krishna. So all of the elements became favorable. An arrangement of the Lord was made through his yoga maya and other lila shakti, etc., so that this could take place. We find when Krishna was born, then everything was arranged very nicely. It was the middle of the night, but the birds were singing, and the lotuses were blooming, etc., and out of season other flowers were blossoming, even though it was the middle of the monsoon season. The various fragrant flowers were blossoming, etc., and it was midnight, but the fires of the sacrifice were going on in the Brahmins' houses even at midnight, when generally you don't have sacrifices at night. So everything was arranged very nicely by the Lord, and that was monsoon season. The rain stopped, and a very nice breeze, nice cool breeze was blowing, etc. So that was an arrangement for the birth of Krishna with his different shaktis. So here also we see special arrangement was made, and there in the first verse it says yoga maya ashrita. Krishna took shelter of yoga maya, his spiritual potency, to produce this special setting at this particular time to favor the development of the Krishna and the gopis relationship, and then ultimately the Rasa-lila.
Maharaj, it is believed that Sukadeva Goswami Pad felt himself unqualified even to utter the name of Srimati Radharani. Then Maharaj, the sadhaka at this level, because it requires a great amount of purity to hear or discuss these pastimes, But how does a sadhaka become qualified to hear this personal conversation?
Well, one, of course, by being a devotee. Of course, we have different levels of devotees as well. So for those who are less qualified may not appreciate the pastimes or may think of them as material. So therefore, one has to be advanced to the stage where we can understand that these activities are all spiritual. And then, of course, we have the precaution that we go through the parampara and through the acharyas. So in that way, we can appreciate. And we may not appreciate completely, because ultimately appreciation is due to our attraction for those pastimes. If we're not so attracted to them, then we cannot relish them so nicely. So the more we have attraction for these particular pastimes, then the more we can understand them, appreciate them, and get spiritual pleasure from them. We may, on the other hand, if we don't appreciate these pastimes, we may appreciate other pastimes like the Dabodar pastime, etc. We may get great spiritual pleasure from hearing and discussing that particular pastime, whatever. So it's according to the nature of the individual, of course, and also somewhat their advancement, and the falling in line of the acharyas and their commentaries. And then we can begin to appreciate, in spite of the fact that we're not on the level of prema to directly meet Krishna, etc. But that goes for all of the descriptions of Krishna. In one sense, you can only really appreciate them when you have bhava and prema, because you have spiritual eyes, etc. at that time. But by the mercy of the Lord, scripture is presented for people, not only those who have bhava and prema, but for sadhakas, people who are performing sadhana to get there. So scriptures are also for them. Bhagavatam is also for them. So therefore they can, to some degree, access and get a taste from these pastimes. So in the description of Raganuga Bhakti, it says that a person doing sadhana, Raganuga sadhana, then he begins to hear the pastimes of particular rasa that he's chosen. And through that, he develops. In other words, it has effect, even though that person is in sadhana bhakti. So by continually hearing with a submissive mind, then the bhakti grows, the attraction grows, etc.
Demigoddesses seem to be more fortunate than the demigods themselves, because they were able to see these pastimes, but the demigods could not see the pastimes.
Yeah. Of course, even the female devatas, if they're not qualified, they couldn't see. Those who were qualified could see. But especially the males were unqualified completely, because only Krishna is the only male in the Ras Lila.
But keeping these gopis were leaving their families and on the call of Krishna's flute, a sadhaka also should not take this as a reference point to leave their responsibilities. Some may be qualified, some may not be qualified, Maharaj. To be attracted to Krishna is completely leave behind their worldly responsibilities. How to differentiate when they are truly attracted, they can give up their family life or worldly responsibilities and be attracted to Krishna's service?
Well, of course, all of these gopis had prema. So people in the material world generally don't have prema, so it's a very rare case. So then nobody can really give that excuse, I'm going to follow the gopis and give up everything, because they don't have prema. Now, if one does have prema, then automatically one would not even see the family or have interest in the family or be aware of the family at all. You're only aware of Krishna, so probably the family would reject him instead, because he couldn't take care of his family. He'd be more like a madman. So those, of course, who are not on that level of bhava and prema, then they have to do things appropriately according to the circumstance. So renunciation is there, but in the Varnashram system, it is in vanaprastha and sannyasa that the renunciation step is taken. So if one is qualified for those, then one can take it at that time. The equivalent, of course, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya is the Babaji Ashram or whatever. So if one is qualified, then one can take that position of renunciation in that sense. But for the Vaishnava, the counter principle is not the renunciation, but the attraction for Krishna. So if we renounce without the attraction for Krishna, that's also not proper. So the real point is the attraction for Krishna. The stronger it becomes, the natural renunciation takes place.
Maharaj, was Meera qualified for that? Meera, she was betrayed by the family. She was just loitering on the street.
No idea. I have no information on her. her.
Okay, Maharaj, you said the gopis met Krishna for the first time. So how could they were straight away going for a romantic play? Maharaj said that the gopis...
Well, it's not they hadn't met. They knew about him. They saw him. There were some brief discussions, but nothing very strong. So this is the first opportunity for that. And though it's the first opportunity, we see that it also became the most spectacular display of Madhurya Rasa with the Rasa dance, etc. How possible? Because of their qualification. They're so highly qualified, and therefore Krishna himself is very eager to fulfill their desire, and therefore everything happened very, very quickly. Yeah, it's described in the next verse. They all went separately.
Sometimes we hear the pastime, like even Narada and Lord Shiva also try to participate in the rasa dance. So how to understand this? Means they're also although they're
if they're qualified, and they have to have gopi bodies. If they can get qualified with gopi bodies, then it is possible. So and they have that suitable prema, then they could. Who? Lakshmi, apparently. That's the story, how it goes, that she had the desire to join, but she couldn't join because she didn't have the proper body or the proper mood. Yeah, but obviously she cannot appreciate fully, but at least she could have some appreciation to it and became very attractive. We have no real descriptions of that. That's more like a local story of the Brajabasis or whatever, but we don't have a scriptural description of that.
He's going to deliver to the translation.